appreciate your prayers. I'm thinking this morning about conviction. We get concerned sometimes when we feel like the Lord's working and doesn't seem like anybody's paying any attention. Sometimes we get concerned about that because we feel like it's very important to be moved by the Spirit of the Lord. We recognize that we can't do anything without Him. And it's important that the Lord help us to be able to make it. And if He doesn't have the ability to touch us, then we're going to be in trouble. And I know that you can't judge what people are getting all together by altar responses and those kind of things, but I think it is somewhat indicative of what people are being able to be touched. And so we get really concerned when we get to the place that obvious things don't move us. And from my perspective, maybe you're just seeing one face, but I'm seeing a lot of faces. And be honest with you, I like to see at the proper times, I like to see a solemnness come over the congregation. I like to see a tremble every once in a while, where I like to see the looks of introspection in people's faces when the Word of God's going forth. And I know that not everybody can be read either. I understand that. Some people are easier. I know at home, sometimes we have those that are really, we have some, I know they're getting it, they testify later, but they might sit there like this. And their expression don't change on their face. You don't know. Then other ones, I've seen other ones go, I mean, just over and over. I mean, the point of it is that we need to be in the place that the Lord is able to touch our lives and to touch our hearts. And to bring conviction where conviction needs to be brought. I want to start with 1 Timothy 4. The first verse says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Now I would like to think that there's nobody in here that fits such a category, but the idea that there would be in the human experience that there would be those that would have their conscience seared with a hot iron, at least this brings the reality that it's possible for us to get to a place that our conscience is seared. That's a very fearful place to be in. To think that we can get into a place, and I'm thinking the obvious idea here is in the scripture is that when you're seared, it means that it would be like callousing, or there would be no sensitivity in that area. That's what happens until there isn't anything any sensitivity left in the conscience, but. But there's another idea that belongs to this. The reason why people were, this is branding. And in the ancient time, the reason they branded people was if somebody was a criminal and they got caught, they wanted to mark them that they was a criminal. And if they done certain hideous things, the penalty for that was if you're going to be a thief, we want everybody to know it. So when you come around, they'll keep a tight watch on their stuff. And so could you imagine getting a big old thief stuck on your forehead everywhere you went? Somebody would say, "He's a thief. Watch out for your stuff. He's a thief." Well, we have some things like that today. Certain crimes today
Everywhere you go, you got to register yourself. You know, there is people that do certain things, and it's bad enough. The community, that society has said, if somebody like that comes into my community for the protection of my children, my wife, whatever, I want to know about it. So they have to register themselves always to be known. The idea is there is something permanent. There is something that is very permanent about the situation. Once you're branded, you're always going to have that brand on you. You're always going to have to, give the explanation to why that says I'm a thief. I may say, the Lord forgive me now, and I might stand up and say, he used to be a thief. See, I used to be a thief. The Lord can do that for us, but there's something very permanent about this idea. And he's saying that there is a possibility that a person, now this says even, I mean, what a description. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Is it not just enough to speak lies? Is it not just enough to be a hypocrite? This is actually taking it farther. These people know they're doing it. These people are purposely defrauding people. They're pretending like they're something, and they're telling lies on top of lies to get things. And in so doing, they're searing themselves. They're making themselves in their conscience seared until they cannot receive good things from the Lord. They can't conceive. You know, it's a blessing. I'm going to tell you, it's a real blessing today that if you're here today and you do something that is not quite right, it is a great blessing to feel that. To be able to be touched in your conscience to say, you shouldn't have said that. Oh my, I done something that I shouldn't have done. And you know that it is an awful thing to be here today and have allowed yourself to get into a place to where you can do something and you don't feel it. Now, I'm going to tell you one of the dangers, and I want to encourage everyone that has a need, no matter how much the need is or how often the need's been, I want to encourage you to keep going to the Lord. But I know of something that happens. I know that from living for the Lord and there be a failure in life, those that are really wanting to serve the Lord and there's a place in life of weakness that you fall to, usually that is a devastating thing to start with. The failure happens and the person will run to the Lord with tears. Lord, I'm so sorry that I've done that. I feel such a weight of guilt to try to I've done it. I've done it in my early Christianity. I done it. And would just, I would go away saying, I'm so thankful that I was able to feel that way. But you know, after you do that, and you make that place and you make it better, you says, oh, thank God, I'm back better. I'm back to the Lord. I'm back to where I'm doing this thing right. You know, after time, and maybe you get loose in your relationship with the Lord, and after a while you fail again. And oh, it comes again, and I hate the failure, and oh, for you deal with it, and then when you get back to the Lord, it's so wonderful. Then again, it's not strong. And then again, it's like, I failed before, I don't know. It's hard to, it doesn't seem as bad as it used to seem. And you know, after a while, you can get yourself into a position that ain't being dealt with. Because I don't really feel it anymore. I don't feel the real conscious guilt. I don't really feel it anymore. There used to be these things that was in that I would never do and just never touch them. And I did, I'd feel bad, so I didn't. But after a while of doing that, you know, it's possible to get your conscience seared. And the idea of this is more than just not being sensitive. There's a sense of permanency with it. There becomes a sense of permanency in it that it can't be, if it can't be felt, it can't be changed. And so you're marked in the conscience that it won't matter anymore. And many people go on and on and on, and they begin to make all kind of excuses. You know, it's very natural. When I was a little boy, this come back to my mind. When I was a little boy, a very small little boy, I grew up chucking rocks. I mean, we lived outside, and we developed an arm, and I, as a little boy, I was throwing, and I remember that we had chickens, and these blackbirds would come in and get our chicken feed and stuff, and it was the only bird that we was allowed to shoot. Or kill, or be, I mean, mom was, oh, leave the birds alone. But these blackbirds, you can do. Well, I was out one day, and this catbird, I don't know if you know what catbird, it's a gray bird, it ain't black, it's gray. But it come flying, and it flew up in a tree, and I saw the bird, and a natural response to me was I picked up a rock and chucked it at it. And I killed it, knocked it right out of the tree, it fell dead on there. And the first thing I thought was, that's a good throw. But when I walked over to the bird and there's this little dead creature, you know, I was very sensitive back then about things. And I picked this little bird up and I can still remember the blood, a little bit of blood oozing out of its, from its beak and all. And I looked at that little bird and I began to get sad. And I began to regret the rock throw. And I started feeling guilt about it. And I can still remember as a little boy what was running through my mind to try to deal with it. I was trying to deal with this. I felt terrible. I had taken this little bird's life. There was no reason. Now, listen, this is sensitive. I'll be honest with you today. I'm not that sensitive anymore. But I was sensitive about this. But I can remember what started going through my mind to deal with it. And you know what it was? I started thinking like this. It looks like a blackbird. I started saying, I made a mistake. That's what I'm going to tell mom. I'm going to tell mom that I thought it was a blackbird. I wasn't even convincing mom. I wasn't talking to her. I was trying to convince Marty of some way that I could soothe that. I needed that soothed. I needed to fix that. I just admitting it wasn't the, I didn't know anything about just doing that. You know what we do many times, and it's really detrimental to our conscience, to start justifying what we're doing. This is so necessary to your spiritual health, to my spiritual health, because the whole plan of salvation is a personal relationship between me and the Lord. I've got to keep that open. That being open before the Lord and His ability to touch my life and lead and guide me is going to be what my spiritual health is about. And when I begin to harm that or damage that, no matter what you all think of me, does not make me healthy. It will harm me is what it will do. And what we need to do is to make sure that we deal honestly today before the Lord. That everything that we do, we deal honestly before the Lord. That we don't make excuses and try to turn things around and try to justify ourselves in what we're doing. But every time you feel anything, you should thank the Lord for it. You should say, Lord, thank you for my ability to feel what you're trying to do. Help me to be sensitive to work with that. That I would always be sensitive to the Lord and the workings of the Lord. That the Lord could come in a still, small voice and speak to me. That He doesn't always have to come with or allow afflictions and all those things. I think they're all good if the Lord brings them. But that the Lord would be able to deal with me about this. If I speak a word out of turn, if I say something to harm my brother or whatever it is, Lord, allow me to feel your working. I want a conscience to be able to feel that. In Luke 10th chapter, let's start 25th verse. It says,
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. I want to say something here about this. The Lord knew what he was doing. The Lord knew all about this man that came to him asking this question, whether it was sincere or not. But he asked him this question, and the Lord returns it around and says, What do you say? How's it written? Well, this is what I read into it. He read it out. This is the answer. And the Lord says, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Now, I want to tell you, when you're talking with me, that's what you get, me. But there's a lot of indications in the scriptures when you're talking to the Lord, you got a lot more than that. When the Lord said things, they had weight with them. There was places like they was astonished at his doctrine. They was astonished at his word. No man spake as this man spake. There was something that was more than that with it. It went into it. I mean, it went down in there. This, when Jesus was there saying something, I think the scripture says he didn't get the spirit by measure. He got the fullness of it. And the power to be able to talk to somebody like this. And they come, they wanted to try to trick him up or something, no doubt. Had some other kind of motive to it. But the Lord spoke right to him and said, You said it right. Do this. You think he was doing it? I don't think the man was measured up to this altogether. I don't think he was. And I think there was something that the Lord said that got right down to him real quick about it. And so he says, the scripture says, But he willing to justify himself said, Why would anybody want to do that? And yet we do. Because we want to try to deal with this. We want to try to deal with the conviction that we feel. The conviction is this. The act of proving, finding, or determining guilt. Decision of the conscience. It is the way we determine what wrong is and proving it inside us to know this is wrong. That's what conviction is. It's when I determine this is what I shouldn't be doing, or I'm not doing what I should be doing, or I'm doing something I shouldn't. But there's something there in there that is determining that. It's conviction. The Lord brought a word of conviction to this man in that simple thing. He said it, right? And the Lord agreed with him and told it to him. But I believe it brought conviction to his own heart. And he said, willing to justify himself. Lord, help us today. I'm going to tell you, when we get in a pattern of just trying to justify ourselves, we're going on a road of searing our conscience. To some degree or another, we're going to allow ourselves to get to a place that we're not going to be sensitive to what the word of the Lord is speaking to us. And the more sensitive we are, the more willing we are to deal with conviction in the right way, I believe the more we'll see work at the altar. I think the more we'll work at it. We don't have to do it that way necessarily, but the more willing we're going to be to deal with it anywhere is when we accept that. And he says, I'm willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Well, he went away. He went completely around loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Well, I don't know. That's a hard thing to say with what you're doing anyway. But when it gets down to the neighbor, that gets pretty close. Now, the Jews had a belief. They believed that you shouldn't murder, but that didn't apply to a Gentile. They believed that you shouldn't kill a Gentile that you wasn't at war with. But if you did, there was no stoning or penalties that way with them. Their neighbor was the Jewish nation.
They didn't believe that it was the same. They didn't believe the laws and the rules would apply to everybody. That wasn't their neighbors. Their neighbor was, there was no obligation in their lives to not harm them if they needed to, or to see one harmed and try to do something to prevent it. There was nothing in their lives to suggest that. But Jesus comes along, and when he says, love your neighbor, down in all of us, we know, don't we? You'll sit here and try to say tonight that you could say, today, that there's somebody that would be exempt of being called a neighbor. Well, we know, we understand what the Lord taught them. But I wonder what he knew, because he was willing to justify himself. He was willing to justify himself. He was willing to challenge the Lord on this and say, I do it right. I am very good to my Jewish brethren. I'm very good. I don't harm anybody that I'm close to around my world. And yet something down there already had him. You see what I'm saying? Something made him even say that. He didn't go away and saying, oh, cha-ching, got it. And the Lord agreed with it. That's what I've been doing. The Lord agreed with it. And I've got it. I got it right. And I thank the Lord. I'm all clear about it. No, he has said, but who is my neighbor? So the Lord tells him who his neighbor is. That's what the story of the Good Samaritan is all about. And when Jesus gets through with this, we're all familiar with it, but Jesus tells this story to deal with the conscience of a man. Him willing to justify himself in his life about how he was living his life. He was willing to do that. He was willing to block off something. I'm going to warn you tonight, if you're willing to do that and willing to justify yourself, it'll only get worse. It'll only get worse, and your conscience will only get worse in trying being dealt with. But when we come to the understanding of what the Lord really wants, we ought to say, thank you, Lord, for that feeling of guilt that I had. Thank you that I can be touched, that I can feel what wrong is. If we get into the position that the Lord can't deal with us about these things, folks, we're going to be in a bad situation. And I'm not saying allow the devil to run us around. He can pull stuff like that and run us all over the place, but I'm saying sensitive enough that when it comes, that we're willing to deal with the Lord about our lives and keep ourselves sensitive to those things. I'm telling you, they that harden their neck often harden their neck. You keep hardening and hardening, it gets really, really hard. And the Lord wants to help us with this. He, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? When Jesus got through, he asked him, now who's neighbor to him? Which one of these was his neighbor? Was it the priest? No. Was it the Levite? No, it wasn't him either. Who was neighbor? It was that Samaritan. But a Samaritan? Yeah. Another scripture I want to look at is in Mark, 11th chapter. Verse says, and they came again to Jerusalem, and as he walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and scribes and elders, and saying to him, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. Why would anyone take this position? This isn't a debate of, this is about the truth. This is about the truth. Why would we want to justify ourselves? I understood why I wanted to justify myself when I was a little boy. I felt bad, didn't know how to deal with it. But if we're really determined to make heaven and be all that we can be, on this earth. And that is our motive and desire. Why would we so much want to justify ourselves? Why wouldn't we want to more have the attitude of, Lord, help me to be what I ought to be here in this. Lord, help me to understand your truth. It's why I love the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, yeah, he snuck around at night. He didn't want to deal with the peer pressure. But he had something, an honesty that those around him didn't have. He looked at the situation and said, we know you're the Lord. I can't get away from it. I can't justify it. And I can't come up with some kind of false narrative. We've always believed this, and now you fit it, and I got to admit it. I've got to just admit it. You're from God. He didn't try to go around it with some false thing. But in this passage, they come and ask the Lord, what authority are you doing this by? What are you going to tell us here? And Jesus says, I'll tell you. But first, before I do, I'm going to put a test on you to check your... I'm going to test your honesty. And I'm going to look on the gauge of your life and check your honesty out. And you'll be able to receive my answer if you will be able to assert in yourself enough to say what the answer is to this question. If you'll even deal with it honestly, you don't have to understand everything, folks. The Lord knows we're human and don't understand everything. But the Lord also knows that if we don't have a tender conscience, He can't deal with us in life. If we don't have a willingness to face the truth for what it is, there's no way for the Lord to get things to us. We've got to keep that open and sensitive. And it's a must. It is so important that we do it. It'll keep us from being deceived. It will keep us from going astray. It'll keep us from being permanently. And that's what that word seared is indicating. It's a permanency. Have a seared conscience. Now what are you going to do with that? Well, He says to them, so tell me, the baptism of John is from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, He will say, why then did you not believe Him? But if we say of men, they feared the people, for all the men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto him, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering said unto them, neither do I tell thee by what authority I do these things. You wanted your answer? You can't receive it. You can't receive it because there's an answer that is obvious. It's obvious, and you won't deal with it. You won't accept that obvious answer. Do you know they would have been so much better off to have just said, they said they couldn't tell. It was obviously they could have told. There was in between these kind of things. It was just a total dishonest thing. And they never got their answer. Do you understand what position this put them in? They never got to hear the Lord tell them what the answer was. We need answers in life, don't we? We need to know, are you confident in yourself that you're able to deal with 2017 and all that it may hold? Anybody want to try to stand up here and prophesy 2017 for your own life? You want to say how you're going to make it in it? I think we all would say, Lord, we're desperate. We're desperate for you to need it. So I'm going to ask you, Lord, will you lead me and help me and give me answers in 2016? Well, I'm going to ask you something first. How faithful are you? Well, I do the best I can. Do you? Is that really the answer? I'm going to make all this kind of way of justifying myself. Well, what about this? Did you ever straighten that out? Well, I don't feel like it was real close to something else. I don't feel like I really had to do it. That catbird sure looked like a blackbird. I mean, they both had wings. They both flew. I justify it however I want to. But down in there, I know what it was. And, you know, we know too, don't we? We know too, don't we? And, you know, when we have an expectation. And I'll admit, if you say, Brother Martin, I don't think you're anointed at all. I don't think the Lord's doing anything. Then that's an acceptable answer to me if that's the way you feel. But I know when we have meetings and we feel like the word of the Lord's going forth, we have an expectation that it's going to touch something. Well, we do. We have an expectation that it's going to touch someplace, and there's needs that need to be met. And we want to see the movement of that. And one thing that's going to hinder it is if we get our conscience seared. And we start being less sensitive to the workings of the Lord that we really, I'm going to tell you, if you got something that you need to take care of, it isn't going to get better by itself. And if you keep on going with that, it's going to get more, it's going to get harder and harder to deal with. We're going to sear our own minds to it. These people, I don't know what happened to them, but I like to think that we're not that way. And we would be willing to say, well, if John wasn't of heaven, I wouldn't know what was. I could even say, I'm going to tell you, John was from heaven, and I don't know about you. I ain't been convinced yet. But what are you going to get from this? I'm going to tell you, what did these men get from this? Nothing. Nothing. And you know, by the same attitude as we deal with the Lord that way too, that's what we're going to get. Nothing. We're not going to get anything out of that. You know, making ourselves vulnerable sometimes and saying, Lord, that's me. That's just me. Me for all it is, for as good as it is, or as bad as it is, or whatever it is. Lord, that's me right there. Help me. Help me to be better than I can do for myself. Another scripture is in John 8. First verse says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. You know, again, that wouldn't have meant much coming from me. But it's like Brother Ed said, like, there's a piercing that the Lord has. I think when Jesus spoke, whatever he wrote, whatever it meant, and her accusers are around, and the expectation is that if he says anything different than stoning her, he is violating the law of Moses and we'll nab him. We got him. Got him stuck right here. They was trying to tempt him into a bad situation. He didn't go for that. But he went right down to where they're at and got right down with it, and his words was penetrating. And I wonder if they didn't think in the split second or the moment that he said it, he knows something about me. There's something about this that went all the way down and hit something that was way down in there. If you're without sin, throw a stone at her. And he brought conviction. Oh, folks, listen. That's a good thing. I know it don't feel good. Nobody wants to be labeled wrong. But the fact of it is, if wrong is a part of our lives, we need conviction. We need the Lord to be able to touch that. We should never get into the place that we're so arrogant or so haughty or in such a position that we can't accept the idea that I might be wrong. Lord, help us. Without the Lord, I know we're wrong. And then the idea of how I'm going to deal with that idea of being wrong. I'm going to have to be sensitive enough to be convicted. to allow my conscience to be touched. Do I can say, and I don't feel right. I don't want to go on feeling right when I'm doing wrong things. Or I've got a position that I hold, and I hold it in the wrong way. You know, you can hold a good position in a bad way. And all of that needs to be touched and dealt with, and yet if all I've got to do is justify, I might. I've heard it said many times, somebody say, told him such and such, and they said, their justification was, nope, I'm not changing. That was the truth. It was the truth, and I will not change because it was the truth. Well, does that mean you done it the right way? Does that mean it was supposed to be done? Did you do it with all the mercy and long-suffering and love that you could have? You know, Lord knows those answers. I've told people the truth before and turned around and felt bad about it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I felt bad about it. I'm glad that I'm sensitive enough to feel it. And you know, there's been times that I've wondered about, well, should I feel bad about that? And I didn't, then it scares me. Well, where's it going? That sensitivity that I had when I first got saved, that everything touched me. I went, Lord, am I getting calloused? Is my conscience being seared? Is there something you're trying to say and I can't hear it? I won't allow it in. It's permanent in me now. And touch it. You know you can make it permanent. You keep it going and it'll be permanent. And you may go out the end of your days just thinking it's all right, because you can never feel or hear the Lord say, you're wrong. You're wrong. That's a challenge. It says these men in this, Jesus said, well, throw a stone at her then. If you don't have a sin, throw a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. You look at these men and say, I'm going to tell you something. We look at these men and say, these were bad men. They were trying to throw the Lord. They were trying to tempt the Lord and get him to do something wrong. These were bad men. Well, I'm going to tell you something about these men. They were still in a place that the workings of the Lord convicted their conscience. Had they not have been, you knew what they had done. They would have said, the law of Moses says to stone her, and we're going to stone her. And there ain't nothing you can do about it, but we're going to go ahead. We're going to do that regardless of what you say. We're going to do it. But the scripture says that when he said that to them, I think a sense of shame and guilt rushed over. I wonder how many of them was guilty in the secret of doing what she did. I wonder how many was guilty of that, and if at least not of the total action. I wonder how many of these people, I don't want to get too far into this, but I wonder how many of these run fantasies through their mind. I wonder how many of them had victory. Well, evidently none of them could throw a stone. But thank God they can be touched by, that they can be convicted. Being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. Beginning at the eldest. I don't know exactly all that means, but it means something. Beginning at the eldest. Maybe the one that had accumulated the most stuff. Maybe the one that looked back at the age that this woman was. Maybe they were old men, but they looked back and thought, oh, I've counted on God's mercy all that I've done. Why am I here doing this? Something just hit me, and it hit me hard. And he walks out. Maybe the next oldest one looks and sees him gone, and he says, we talked about some of these things. Oh, and walks away too. Sometimes if we ain't careful, we'll lay a judgment on people. And the Lord is going to say of that, what about you? Can I tell you something about judgment that I've learned? You take this one. When somebody comes and you hear stuff and you say this and you can't confirm it or know it, can I tell you something about judgment? Shelf it. Just shelf it. Don't make it. Jesus said, oh, I don't judge it. If I do, it's a righteous judgment, meaning put it on the shelf. When they say, oh, brother, why are you doing all this? Just shelf it. It'll be time to judge it if it needs judgment. You know how many times we'll lay a judgment on that? And how many times I had been guilty in my life of saying, somebody said, oh, well, that's bad, this and that. And the Lord speak and say, you remember what I forgave you of? Lord, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. And Lord, I just have your way. Have your way. These men, they began to walk out. Their own conscience had been convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now that's a curious thing, since all the people seem to have left, but those that say this said that there was much more. You know, always in my mind, I visualize these things. In my mind, I always visualize Jesus there with this woman and only the accusers. And in my mind, that's all I seen, the accuser of this woman. And it was kind of a private setting in my mind. But obviously, this was not, if you read the beginning of it, it wasn't at all. It wasn't at all. It was public. There was a lot of people there. And the accusers was there, and this was a public thing. I wonder how much harder that makes it to walk out. Folks, listen. We got to do what we got to do. We can be, I don't want everybody to know. I want to tell you there's a time you got to do what you got to do. When Jesus said that, there's other people listening. Oh, what are they going to do now? Maybe someone was even over there on their side and saying, yeah, we're going to get him now and all this. And why are they walking away? Why are they walking away? It was in the midst. It was still in the midst. There was people all around. They were still in the midst. I thank God that he's willing to bring conviction into our lives. And we need to keep sensitive to that conviction that he brings. We need to be always open to that. Not running over it. The more we run over this, more we do it, the harder we're going to get with it. The more insensitive we're going to be about it. And the Lord will send a message about some of those simple things sometimes, and those that's been dealing with it is sensitive about it, and all of a sudden the Lord comes along and he says to our congregations or our church, you better tighten up a little bit. A little worm is sleeping in, and we hear that and saying, you know, I was wondering about what I was wearing. I was wondering a little bit, get the feeling a little bit. Yes, don't go over that. You go over it a little, you're going to start getting harder and harder about it. Oh, he said, the way I spoke, oh, he come in and talked about that tongue being such an unruly member. Oh, it was a time that I used to watch that, and the Lord would convict me, and oh, I got on the phone and talked too much, talked about these things, and I called him up and said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, make this right. And then it comes along after a while, and the Lord brings that right to the forefront and brings that up, and nothing. I got to clean, didn't touch me at all. Woman, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I don't know. But do you think that could have been a changing? There's no other scriptures that indicate anything about it that I know of. But I know what their goal and purpose was. And I know God, I know the Lord thwarted it. He didn't allow it to come true. And they went away. These men went away. Supposing maybe the Lord was able to talk to them about anything else after that? Or maybe those sins was now have to be dealt with. They went away with their. I wonder how they ended up dealing with that a conscience that was convicted. I wonder if they just, you know, you can do this. You can just wear it out. You can be convicted today, and it won't be as bad tomorrow. It won't. Mostly, generally, it won't. It won't be. You won't feel as strong tomorrow as you did today. And you wait. You wait till, you know, Sunday, and it'll probably be a little less. And by Monday, possibly you can deal with it pretty good, but then you can go, well, what if that's what they do? Is that what we do? We'll wear that off until it doesn't bother me anymore? Because if we do, I mean, this is the truth. If we do, we are harming the relationship between us and the Lord. Because it's the Lord that communicates through that means. I can't really deal with you through that means. That's the way the Lord deals with us. And when I haven't got the capacity, it's like leaving my telephone off the hook. Well, if I don't want to talk to you, I'll leave it off the hook. I don't leave my phone off the hook, folks. I don't. I answer the phone. But I'm saying that if I know people that do that, they don't want to deal with someone now. They got more, the technology age. They got caller identity. All that stuff. It comes up on your screen who you are, and man, that's bad. Well, it's good if you don't want to talk to certain people, but I mean, it's bad if somebody's trying to get a hold of you and they really want to get a hold of you and you really don't want them to. And that's the way the Lord is. He's really wanting to get a hold of us, and we hear that. There it is, the Lord. I ain't talking. I'm going to leave off though. I can't hear this. No conviction of conscience here. Nothing to deal with here. Lord, help us to be sensitive about these things. I know we want to preach the word and all that it says, and we want to teach it in its fullness. And it can be taught so full. It can be expounded so wonderfully. It can be so anointed and forceful from the pulpit. And if you don't have an ear to hear it, and if you harden your neck, there's no receptacle to it. It doesn't do anything. It needs some place to lodge. It needs some place that's sensitive enough to say, that's what I want, even if it hurts. That's what I want. I want to get the reality of this. And being convicted in their own conscience, it altered their actions. I'd like to think, no evidence of it, but I'd like to think that some of these maybe in the time to come was a disciple of the Lord. Maybe, I don't know. They still had conscience about something, though. The whole walking off acknowledged that there was things in their lives. And they acknowledged it before the crowds because the Lord was able to see right down into it. Let's go to Acts 24. Let's see, I want... I'll go back to the 22nd verse, maybe. When Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or to come to him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. It got him, didn't it? It got him. I don't know about old Felix, but I know this. He couldn't withstand. He could not withstand the words of Paul. Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he could not withstand it because he had not yet seared his conscience to the point that he was permanently damaged. And when that came to him, there is something that is all so powerful about the Word of God that comes down into the heart. That comes down in there and touches it till he trembled. I was a young boy, probably in my teenage years, and I knew very little to nothing about God, the ways of the Lord. And I was hurrying to get ready, and somebody was going to pick me up. We was going to go to the park to play ball. And I was hurrying along, and the television was on, and I come running by there trying to get ready, and there was some kind of a TV evangelist on there, and he says about the time I get through, coming through the living room, about that time I turn around and look, and there was this face there on there, and he says, young man, give your heart to the Lord. I didn't know anything about it. And you know what? I ain't giving no praise to anybody. I don't know what he was. He could have been an axe murderer, all I know. But I'm going to tell you what happened. The Spirit of the Lord jabbed my heart. Not because of what he was, because I was a sinner and knew it. And I knew I had purposes that wasn't good, and I was riding over a lot of guilt in my life. And I knew I was doing those things. And when he said, give your heart to the Lord, it stopped me for a moment right there in my tracks. It actually stopped me, and I was like, and I run out. That's the way I dealt with conviction. But the Lord was merciful. You know, we are worse off sitting here. There was a prayer the other night about not letting our young people get gospel hardened. By often hearing, yeah, all the Lord's coming back. Yeah, if you don't do these things, bad things is coming. I've been doing this and nothing bad's coming. Yeah. That'll harden you. That'll harden you till you're not able to hear what the Lord really wants to say to you. It says Felix trembled. Well, Felix needed to tremble. See, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee. Now, I want to tell you something about this. Folks, that I don't know. I mean, if anybody else has any information about Felix that I don't, I'd like to know. But I'm going to tell you something about this. That's a mistake. He trembled. I'm going to tell you that was something that Paul told him. And he knew that it was right and he trembled. But his response to the trembling, I'm going to tell you, do you think Felix trembled the next day like he did while he was there in Paul's presence? Well, I think he might have lost some sleep that night. I remember when I was under conviction, the Lord dealing with me, I remember losing some sleep and I remember going through some hard, I remember that. Felix maybe not slept and said, "Woo, that's God." I don't think he felt the next day the way he did that day. I wonder if a week later he still was trembling. Felix, what's wrong with you? You're trembling. Well, I talked to Paul last week and or a month later, Felix, you're still trembling. What? But yeah, I'm still. No, you know it wasn't. That's a mistake. That is a part of hardening ourselves. That is a part of the time that we give ourselves, our mind, the enemy. We give our minds ample time to justify ourselves away from that. I want to be saved, but I'll be saved later. You going to be trembling later? You sure you're going to tremble? You sure you're going to seek God later? You sure you're going to be able to tremble? Felix trembled, but not everybody trembled. Felix said, give the same message to people that stoned him, that whipped him. Not everybody's got the same heart. Felix understood it and trembled. God was after him. But that's a mistake, folks. Don't go away from this meeting with needs in your life expecting that you'll feel the same kind of need a week from now. It possibly, there comes a time that you will be branded. A seared conscience. A permanent state. You know, we need God to talk to us, but if we can't hear him, we'll say, well, God just quits dealing with people. Ain't God quitting anything? You've shut off the avenue with a seared conscience. And there's nowhere else to go. I'm going to tell you, God can go through a lot. He's an amazing God. But there is a place that you and I can choose by the normal decisions of life that we can get into a place that it's really hard to get back. The Lord can come and say, this is wrong. This is obviously wrong. What you're obviously going to do. I've seen people argue with me about things and sitting saying it's obviously wrong. Somebody just told me, he wrote me this, oh, he wanted me to go out and eat with him. He had wrote this and wanted me to tell him what I thought about this letter he wrote. And he didn't say he wrote it. He gave me this article and wanted me to read it. And I read it. It was all justifying why someone could get a divorce and marry somebody else. And that was a whole argument on there. And I read it and I didn't think that much about it. And went out to eat with him and he said, well, what did you think of the letter I wrote? And I said, well, the first question I'd have is who wrote it? Well, he said, well, I did. And I said, how did I know that? And I said, I'll tell you something else I know right now without even knowing you. You're either in this situation or you're going to be. You're wanting to be. And he said, yeah, I'm thinking about getting married. How did I know? How did I know that? Willing to justify yourself. Willing to justify yourself. I don't know what to say to anybody. Don't take my word for it. You got a God that wants to deal with you. God wants to touch your heart. We have a basic understanding of knowing if I say I'm going to do something and make an oath to it that I ought to keep it. I pledge before the Lord that I'll keep this woman for the rest of my life till death do us part. How simple is that? You mean you can walk away from such an oath as that before the Lord and not feel anything? Can you really not feel anything? Surely you would have to feel something from telling the Lord you intended to do something and not do it. Well, it goes up beyond all that. It goes into, oh, Lord, I'm going to love you with all my heart. I'm going to keep my commandments. You don't feel it when you don't keep the commandment. Lord, help us. Help us to be sensitive in our conscience towards God. Brother Clifford Wilson said one time, our conscience does not tell us the difference in right and wrong. It only helps us to live to what we've determined to be right and wrong. And that's absolutely true. If you've got a bad notion in your mind or a bad understanding, you'll live to it. Paul talked about those about eating meat the same way. They had it wasn't altogether accurate, but it was right for them to do it. If their conscience would have smote them, they ought to live that way. And that's true. We want knowledge with this. We want the truth to dictate what our conscience is telling us. I may think it's right, as Paul did, to persecute the church. He thought he was doing right. And his conscience wasn't bothering him until he found out that it was wrong. So Lord, help us today to have a tender conscience. It is the foundation of the relationship that we have for the Lord, because he can't talk to us any other way. And he's going to have to deal with us and talk to us. And I want to be sensitive. You pray for me.